Lord, may you speak with us this morning, and may we be receptive to your word. And as we begin this new year, may we fix our eyes on the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus the Christ. Amen. How many of you remember your baptism? Perhaps it was down by the river, right? And a very cold Sunday morning. Do you remember that? For some, it might be in the lake. For some, it was just pictures when you were an infant. Just like me, I remember my baptism, seeing it on the pictures, because I was baptized in a Catholic church when I was an infant. What are the most aha moments when you had those baptisms? Let's talk a little bit each other. What do you remember in your baptism? People? What else? Families? Special moments, right? What's something that hits you in your baptism that you still remember even now? Some of you may have kept your certificates, right? And you still have your certificates in your, you know, in your keepsakes and as a keepsake. Baptism is very special, right? There's something in this baptism that caught us, that gets us, that steer our imagination, right? We put our old dress in together. You know, when the girls were baptized, we have to order those baptismal clothing all the way from the Philippines, embroidered it, brought it back to the U.S., only for them to wear, because they're going to be immersed into this water and be able to experience that with all different friends coming in, loved ones coming together. And of course, the always part of this baptism is there would be eating. There would be a lot of eating afterwards, like going out in the restaurant, right? Meals together, right? Baptism. There's something in baptism. That may be the reason why Jesus decided to be baptized. He has a choice not to be baptized, for he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords after all, right? But why do you think Jesus needs to be baptized? And for all sake, he was baptized by an ordinary human being like us. By the name of John, I call him John the Baptizer. The Bible tells us. He even ate locusts, right? With camel's hair and all these kind of different things. He was kind of a weird person in the Bible anyway. A weird person baptizing Jesus. Come to think of that. But for all reasons, Jesus himself was baptized. Perhaps he wants to show us a new way of being. Perhaps he wants to set the stage about what this ministry is all about. After all, after Jesus' baptism, it ushered in the beginning of Jesus' new chapter in his life, the beginning of his ministry, the beginning of his journey on what would be a ministry that heals the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, engage with the outcast, liberates those who are oppressed and marginalized, and be able to identify with the downtrodden and the lost and the last and the least. Perhaps baptism is a beginning of our lives as well. Perhaps baptism is an invitation for us to a new kind of life, a life that is no longer defined by this world, but we are now called as children of God. Amen? But not only that Jesus decided to be baptized because he wants to show us a new way of life, a new way of being. But perhaps God wants to remind us that through his son's baptism, he wants to show us what obedience is all about. For everyone else who came to John for baptism, at that moment in time, more than 2,000 years ago, it requires a certain change in the direction of life. It's a call for them to repent of their old ways. If you remember that, it was written in that scripture. To give up the old nature and to turn to God's way of life. It's like a 300 or 180 degrees turn. It's like saying, I've come to be baptized because I'm giving up my old nature. I'm now embracing a new way of life. But for Jesus, baptism is what's quite different. Because Jesus is the Son of God. He was God and He is God. He is blameless and He's without fault. He's without sin. So for Jesus, baptism is a public declaration of His love of God, the Father, and His obedience to follow His will as He enters into this journey of what would have been a journey of life and death and eventually a life of resurrection. He knew at some point that this will to follow God will never be an easy journey. After all, we recall what Jesus said at the Garden of Gethsemane. If you remember that, when He knew that He was going to die on the cross, He prayed this prayer in Luke chapter 22. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. In other words, Jesus' baptism is a public declaration of His submission to the will of God. To follow all the way to the Via Dolorosa. To go to the cross for our sake and for the sake of following His Father's will. Isn't that what baptism means for us as well? That when we immerse ourselves into the water of baptism, we're saying, oh God, we are being obedient to Your will. We are no longer living in this world, but we are trying to follow the way of this new life, turning to God's way of life. And as a result of that, we are ultimately submitting ourselves to You. Let it be You that will control our lives. Let it be You that will control my priorities, my paychecks, my everything, my schedule, my priorities, my calendar. Jesus' baptism shows us God's way of love. It's a special way of communicating us the greatest act of humility. See, when Jesus was baptized, He identified with our humanity. Did you notice that? He allowed Himself to be immersed into that water. I called it to be dunked. I've had several of that immersion experience when we immersed the candidate to be baptized into the waters. That was the greatest act of humility on the side of Christ to show us what humility is and should be. Perhaps we are called in our baptism to demonstrate that as well. In a world that is so much full of greed and pride and me attitude and selfishness and self-centeredness, we are called to be countercultural, to go against what the world dictates and embraces a whole new different lifestyle, a different attitudes, a different behavior that calls us to a life of humility not centered in what we need, in what we want, but rather selflessly offering ourselves for others. In baptism, God points us to Jesus alone as our Savior. When He completely identified among us, in that baptism more than 2,000 years ago, He showed us that He can be approached totally confident, and He will understand us, and that He is interested in your life and in my life. Can we hear amen to that, church? That Jesus isn't just on the balcony up on high, but rather He joined us in all of our challenges, in all of our brokenness, in all of our messiness. A Jesus who joins us on the road of our pilgrimage through life, and that He is interested in you and in me, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our successes, in our failures. His identification with us at His baptism, and more completely on the cross, gives us the permission to approach Him so that we may be able to receive His mercy and find His grace. Can we have a witness, church? Amen? And so this morning, as we reaffirm our baptismal covenant this morning, we will be remembering that moment when Jesus claimed us, when Jesus named us and called us by our names. As we touch the water this morning, we will be reminded again and again of a God that nourishes and sustains all living things by the gift of water. We will remember when the Holy Spirit moves over the watery chaos, calling forth order of life. We will remember a God who led Israel out of slavery to the waters of the sea, into the freedom of the promised land. Jesus Himself was baptized in the waters of Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by the Holy Spirit. Think that for a second. Dr. David Jeremiah reminds us this is one of the most expressive intersection of the triune God, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the intersection of God, the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, all colliding into this experience of Jesus being baptized in the water. Because through the baptism of His death and resurrection, we are set free from the bondage of sin and death and giving the cleansing rebirth.